Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on PBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hey, everybody. I am coming to you live from, yes, you guessed it, the Wendy's parking lot. Yeah, that Wendy's, with the burgers and all, you know, all the good Frosties and all that stuff. I am paused here for an hour to do this show in between a busy junk removal day, and we're in Rockville, Maryland. Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, and I am delighted to have my high school buddy, and I don't want to date us, but this is like 50 years ago, folks. My high school buddy, Lennon Ledbetter, is on the line with us, and it is great to have him here. Lennon, can you hear me okay?
You bet I can. Yes, sir.
Great to have you with us. I'm going to tell people a little bit about you, and then I got a few just kind of questions, a few things we'll talk about that should be a lot of fun. Lennon is one of the country's premier network marketing gurus. I'm just going to say it that way. He has been involved in the business of helping other people be successful by getting them involved in products or services that he's involved in. And then he helps those people build a successful team to raise their income and raise his income as well. I asked Lennon, and I'm not going to repeat this because it's private information for Lennon, but I asked him a while ago when we were just talking on the phone, I was curious to know, I said something like, you know, how much money have you made in a month? And then I threw out a number that was like, you know, really high, just for fun. And he thought about it for a moment. He came back and he said something like, well, you know, on quite a few occasions, I've actually made 10 times that much. And I went, okay, I'm in the wrong business. That does it. But we're talking with, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show because we talk about this on the Junk Refund Show, not only how to get the junk out of your, you know, basement and your garage, but also how to get it out of your life. And one of the things that Lennon has been extremely successful at for decades has been helping people raise their income by helping them establish a successful team, which benefits him, it benefits the individual that he works with, and it benefits all the team members. Lennon, is that an accurate way to say it? Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, I think you're doing great.
Okay. I want to start by just passing along to you, Lennon, a couple of hellos. When I went on my Facebook page and posted that you're going to be a guest on the show today, there are some people that just jumped right in and wanted me to say hi to you. One of those is a girl named Renee Brown, who goes by Renee Brown Golding. And I think it was Renee Brown that we knew back in our days. And she said, tell Lennon I said hi. So I said, okay, I will.
I love it.
So, okay, so Renee Brown says hi. Larry Booth, who is my age. And by the way, Lennon is a year older than me. And so he kind of preceded me by a year going through high school. And I'll tell you more about some of the great stuff he did when he was in high school. But Larry Booth, who is in my class, my age, says, love you, Lennon. He wanted me to say that and pass it along to you. Larry, I don't know if you know, Larry has had, in a number of years, has had some pretty serious health challenges. He served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Missouri, where I was, and he has just handled his adversity like a champion. So shout out to Larry Booth, who's just done a great job. And then Mike Matheny came in and made a comment. It was one word, bold letters, flashing at me as I'm looking at it right now, and he just said, legend. And he's not talking about me, my friend. He's talking about you. So Mike Matheny says hi to you as well. So let's do this. You've got such a great story. Do you want to tell people a little bit just how you got involved in some of these network marketing companies that you do and when you got started? Just kind of start telling your story of how you got involved in this.
Yeah, you know, I was in high school, seriously, as a little boy. I'll go even further back than that. Just everybody I knew had a job. They just went to work, came home, went to work, came home, home to work, worked home, home to work, worked home, home to work, worked home. And every one of them was still living paycheck to paycheck. And they weren't debt-free. And, you know, they didn't have their house paid for. They didn't have their cars paid for. And I was thinking, huh? Why? If God's a God of abundance and all things are possible, and the number one thing I hear people complain about is not having enough money, I go, gosh, it's like crazy. But anyway, as a little boy, I remember my mom, this is a quick little story, but my mom, no matter where we went as a family or what, you know, she'd introduce us and she'd say, and she'd introduce my brother and she'd introduce my sister, and always kind. But then she'd always say, and this is Lennon. He's our little dreamer boy. We don't know where he came from, you know. And she'd say, boy, he's different. We don't know where he came from. And then again, she'd say, this is Lennon. He's our little dreamer boy. He's different. We don't know where he came from. And anyway, one day, as a little boy, I was laying in my bed just crying. I was crying. And my mom heard me crying, and she came in and sat beside me. What's wrong, honey? You know, like, are you sick or what? What's wrong? And I says, how come you don't know where I came from? And I said, I don't want to be different. I thought I was part of a family, and I was crying because I wanted to be part of the family, part of the team, but I was different. And she didn't know where I came from. Like, well, here's my mom and dad, you know, I asked. And she said, oh, honey, I mean that as a compliment. You're definitely part of our family, and we're your mom and dad, and don't ever change. And she went on and talked about, don't ever change dreaming. You're the dreamer boy, man. You're going somewhere. And, you know, it kind of affected, well, I felt a lot better that day, and then I liked it. Even when I was a grown man, she'd say, this was my little dreamer boy. He's always been a dreamer. And I took it as a compliment, which is what she meant it as. But as I think about it, you have generational thinkings that come down, some good, some bad. But our parents taught us stuff, and they were taught by their parents. They were taught by their parents. And I thank God for this, because I think there's been, you know, many blessings I've received from God, but maybe the biggest is that I saw how to help people around the world. I said, if God's a God of abundance and he created the world, then why don't I have an income in 40 or 50 languages? Why aren't I helping people on every continent of the world? Because God created people on the continents. Let's be there blessing their life. And as I thought, and I said, okay, so, well, like Helen Keller, the famous blind lady, said, many people have sight, but they have no vision. They have sight, but they have no vision. But anyway, back to the blessing was that I was just in high school, and sometimes I look at kids that are 16 or 17, barely have their driver's license, and I wonder if they know how to tie their shoes. Well, somehow I saw the vision. And that's why I got started, and I've just never done anything else in my life. Everything we've done is, everything we teach is because we've succeeded at what we're trying to teach others. It's not like we're telling them what to do. But back to the story of my start was that, yeah, these generations were taught. And I don't know why. I've never understood why one kid's born black, one kid's born white, one kid's born yellow. Why is one kid get to wake up and realize, hey, my dad's Steve Jobs, or my dad's Bill Gates, or my dad's Donald Trump, or my dad's Barack Obama. And then somebody else gets to wake up and either not know who their dad is, or just like me, my dad's Curtis, my mom's Virginia. I don't ever remember wishing I could trade them, but I don't know why my mom's and dad, their dad, so my two grandfathers, not generations back, just my dad's dad, my mom's dad, one got to the first grade before he dropped out of school. The other got to the third grade before they dropped out of school. So when people say, oh, we didn't have college graduates, well, none of my grandparents even got out of elementary school. And so I go, okay, then my dad only had one brother. He had no sisters. And I mean, I loved my Uncle Willie. He was a great human being. I mean, he was kind. He was nice. Man, if I was playing catch with him, man, he could throw a baseball ball and make your hands sting. I mean, I loved my Uncle Willie. But he dropped out of high school, never finished. He joined the Navy. When he got out of the Navy, he became a plumber. And now, is there anything wrong with being a plumber? No. I just didn't want the lifestyle that my grandparents, that every relative I knew lived. I didn't want that lifestyle. I wanted out. You see, I grew up in a little steel mill town, and basically most of the men in that area worked at the steel mill. It's called Geneva Steel, and they would work at Geneva.
Utah. Yeah, right.
Yep. And I'd talk to my friends I played high school football with, and they were just their dream was to just work at the steel mill like their dad worked at the steel mill, like their grandpa worked at the steel mill. And I said, by golly, I ain't working at no steel mill. Now, again, not saying it's wrong to work at the steel mill.
Right, right.
I just was out. I was getting out. Didn't mean I had to physically not live there. I just mentally was out. And I said, there is more to life than these steel mill workers, home to work, work to home, home to work, work to home, home to work, work to home, and never, ever having options. And that's all money does. It just gives us options and opportunities. And, I wanted to be able to give. But as I'd go to church, I'd always see people at church. And somehow there was this attitude that was virtuous to be poor. You know, we don't have much money, but we're good people. They'd also have this attitude like, don't judge what I do. Judge my heart. You know, I would right. give if I could give, but I can't give. So I don't give, but I would give if I could give, but I don't give because
right.
I can't give. And so we were always begging them to help us with our Boy Scout troop money. And it was called Friends of Scouting. And people would not even, the whole congregation wouldn't even donate enough to help the scout troop go, it seemed. And I was thinking, what? It doesn't mean they're bad. It's just somebody needs to be able to help us go on a scout trip. One year we had to cancel the summer camp
because sure.
nobody, the church didn't have enough money to pay, and the parents didn't want to pay for their kids. And I was mad because I wanted to be an Eagle Scout. I did become an Eagle Scout. But I was excited about it. So I was bummed that we couldn't go to Lake Powell for our summer camp. And so I'll let you talk, Ellen, but it gets me excited because I'm trying to say that I never bought into the virtue of poverty, but I also never bought in and said it's virtuous to be rich. What I believed it was virtuous to be virtuous. And that good people with money could do good things with their money. Bad people with money did bad things with their money. But that didn't give me a good point. If you don't have any money, how are we going to know if you're good or bad? That's a joke. Because if we have no money, we just do nothing. If we have no money, we just do nothing. And so
go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I already answered that question long
ago. All right. Well, okay. Let me give them a little. One of the reasons this is so fun to have you on the show is because of so many things you and I have in common. I was a tennis player in high school, So just for fun, as let's just pretend this is a tennis match for a second. I'm going to serve. And let's just go back and forth for a second and just mention each one of us. Just mention something you and I have in common. Okay? Just off the top of your head. And we'll just kind of go back and forth like we're playing
a
Wimbledon tennis point. Okay?
Okay, so this really is
No, just think, yeah, because we've chatted about this. Just a couple of things. One of them is we're both from Orem, Utah. Right?
Yep.
All right. Go ahead. What's another one?
Our dads had the same job. Our dads worked together.
Yes. Our dads were both religion professors at BYU. That's correct. We both played sports in high school. I was a tennis player. Tell them what you did.
Yeah, I was mostly a football player. I played football. I also ran track. Those are kind of, my things.
You were a wide receiver, weren't you?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, I remember. Okay. And the quarterback of that team was a guy named Gary Croton, who went on to be the head coach of the BYU football team for many years. And I think another receiver on your team was Val Hale, who was the athletic director at BYU for a number of years and has worked in the governor's office and is now retired, etc. Let's talk about our moms. My mom has this outgoing, fun-loving, adventuresome, creative way about her. Tell them about your mom.
I think our moms got along so well because they were both the same. My mom directed the choir in church. You know, she could play the organ. It was like singing all the time, bubbly, fun, always the life of the party. And so was your mom.
That's exactly right.
If it's my turn, our dads were more stoic, I guess. I mean, more conservative, more, I think they were perfect matches because, you know, I asked my dad one time, I said, what made you fall in love with mom in the first place? And he answered, he said, she made me laugh. And I think that, you know, our dads were more serious. It's not bad to be either one. That's why I think they were a good match. But our dads were like professors, teachers. You know, they were more, I'm going to say the word serious. And then our moms were more, you know, let's go have fun. So I right. loved them. I loved all four of them.
I'll tell you one other thing that I think our parents had in common. Your parents got involved in Amway and just went straight to the moon because of a lot of reasons that you know much better than I, but they just had dynamic personalities and everybody knew them and they had so much credibility and they were some of the top producers in Amway in the country as far as I know. My parents got involved to make a few extra bucks because our dads are both religion teachers, right? And so to make a few extra bucks, my parents got involved in a company called Royalite. And it was a soap kind of business. We had boxes of Royalite soap in our house that they would, you know, talk to other people about and et cetera like that. And I just remember Royalite soap being there. But you have done such a great job moving forward with this involvement that I guess your parents got involved in it first and you got involved in it when you were in high school and now you've just exploded around the world and done a bunch of stuff, which I want to talk about a little bit more with you in a minute. Tell everybody before we take a break here in a couple of minutes, what is kind of the bottom line of why you enjoy what you do so much?
Hope. You know, when I was young, my friend Robert Kiyosaki, he wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And when he was at my kitchen table and we were talking about how to publish it and get it started, it was, I really liked the book. I said, Robert, I really like the title, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I said, you had a rich dad mentor and you had a poor dad mentor. I said, why I'm so excited about this is I also had a rich dad mentor and a poor dad mentor. Only my dad in my book is the same man. You had two different men, a rich dad and a poor dad. I had a rich dad and a poor dad, same man. Because my dad was taught, get a good education and get a good job. So yes, he did graduate from college. Yes, he did get his PhD. And yes, he did become a professor. So again, there's a big difference. When I say paycheck to paycheck, I did not grow up a poor kid, but I did grow up a broke kid, you know, in other words, just barely enough each month. And so I go, and then I saw them join a company, as you mentioned, your parents did Royal Life, which was always funny that the parents both, they both were leaders though, and they both started building their teams. And I always thought, why aren't they on the same team? But anyway, it was still, the blessing was that they were entrepreneurs. They saw the vision and they started building a team. And it was only like 7 months, and my dad duplicated his professor salary. And within a couple years, he's making 10 times what he was as a university professor. So basically after 20 something years of as a professor. So I, as a little kid in high school, when I say little kid, I barely had my driver's license, but I said, wow, I see his 20 year plan plus all the education. And then I saw his 7 month plan listening to some CDs. I said, I choose the 7 month plan. But I think that what you're asking really is about what got me excited was I saw the change and I saw him start reading some positive books and changing some associations. And I watched him totally blossom right before my very eyes. But the story that got me, and why you say I keep doing it, a couple of them came to my mind, one by my mom and one by my dad, but maybe I'll just leave the one of my mom and just say the one of my dad.
In fact, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's do this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but let's take a quick station break here, quick commercial break. When we come back, I want you to start with the story of your dad and then tell us the story of your mom. And we're going
to
get
more stories
from
everybody on the call. Yeah, because this will relate
great.
To everybody
okay, that's
on the
awesome.
Call.
All right. Hang tight for a quick minute. We'll do a quick station break. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on BBSRadio.com.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. To get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
These Newsom brothers, Doug and Don Newsom, are the founders of BBSRadio.com. They are twins. If you talk to one of them on the phone and then quickly call the other one, you'll swear you're talking to the same guy again because they have these golden radio voices and they're just a couple of cool guys. So shout out to Don, who's the producer of the show, to Doug, who got me involved in it in the first place, and the great work that they do. So we're talking to Lennon Ledbetter, who's my high school buddy and one of the most successful network marketing guys in people in the country. And you're about to tell us some during this next segment. I want to talk about some of the people that you've helped, some of the stories that you can tell us about people that you've helped through your efforts, Lennon. So you're going to tell us a story about your dad and then one about your mom. Go ahead.
Well, okay, there's a story about helping them too. But this is what I think a lot of people might relate to, because you're living a life like my dad was. And it's okay. You see, we are where we are. What matters is where we're going. Where's your vision? What do you want? And let's go get it. Most people never make more money than they believe they're worthy of. So it really is about getting the junk out of your head and believing that you're a child of God. You're endowed with the seeds of greatness. You were born to win. You're the son of a king. You know, so anyway, but that's another story. I'll talk about my dad.
Good point. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I just don't remember my dad being at anything. Now, this is true. See, I was Little League baseball. I would do all the little things, and they had the little forward punt, pass, and kick, and just things that were big in my life. And I told you I loved Boy Scouts. My dad never, ever once was a father that went on a camp out with our troop. And we went on lots of them over the years. And then as I became a scoutmaster myself, I'm just saying nobody ever, it was just never there. Because how does a university professor make money? Well, he teaches all day. Well, what if he wants to make more money? What does he do? Well, then he teaches night classes all night. So my dad was teaching all day, teaching all night. And that always took precedent over anything I did. But hey, that still wasn't enough money. So he joined the Utah Air National Guard on weekends. He was the chaplain, the preacher. And so he was in the Air National Guard. So now, I mean, I remember one time he came home and gave me a bumper sticker that they had printed. It said, "My pops tops. He's in the Air National Guard. My pops tops. He's in the Air National Guard." He thought I'd be excited because I liked little sticker things. Remember, I was little. I liked all kind of sticker things and everything. And but I never really loved that sticker. I remember thinking, my pops tops, he's gone all the time. I just wish he'd go out in the backyard with me and throw a football. I just wish my dad was ever at the dinner table with us, because there never was enough time after his afternoon class to drive home, eat, and then get back for night classes. So he just stayed there for his lunch break. He stayed there for dinner. And then it was always, Mom would make us go to bed before he came home. So I never saw him. Okay. Now, I'm not saying he was a bad dad. I never did not think I was loved. I just never had my dad in any of my stuff. Okay. Then he saw this business. He saw this idea of leverage and duplication and helping others. And when the Bible says the greatest leader is a servant of all, he learned servant leadership and serve others, and your life gets blessed. And so what happened was, I told you, in only 7 months, he duplicated his income. So in less than 7 months, he went in and told the dean that he wasn't going to teach night classes the next semester. So what I'm saying, in less than 6 months, he bought 5 nights a week. He bought his time.
Beautiful.
Now he still taught during the day, but done all night. And then in a few more months, he went part-time. He said, I still love teaching. I love the students. But he cut back, and he only started teaching on Monday and Wednesday. So now he bought his Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so he was way more free. Now, all of a sudden, he's at all my stuff. Now, by this time, I'm at the university playing on the university football team. But he's at everything.
By the way, I got to give you a quick shout out, too. And again, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but my buddy Dave Farr, whose brother Dan I interviewed on this show 2 weeks ago, who's the CEO of FanX, Dave saw that you were going to be a guest on the show, and he said, say hi to Lennon for me. I played on the BYU football team when Lennon played on that team.
I love it.
So there you go.
All these guys that you're saying hi from, well, big hello back. And man, I hope we get to catch up again soon, you guys. But also,
we will. I wanted to throw that in real quick. Okay, back to your story.
But the thing is that they said, so basically I'm prefacing the story. It's a little short point, but it's huge. And that is that I want you to relate, if you're working so hard to make some money that you're missing much of your children's stuff that you'd want to be to, that you would be to if you had money, if you had residual income coming in. So understand, it's a bigger point, but you asked what got me so excited. And this is me in high school still, my senior year. And my dad comes home, and well, not comes home. The point is, he had bought his time, but he had said this early to me. When he first started winning, and he'd drive to do meetings, house meetings, drive to somebody's house, help them. And he told me, he told me, I always knew he loved me, but he told me, he says, you know, I love you. And he says, I know I haven't been at a lot of your stuff. He says, that's what I was going to say too, is by the time I started, he was at every home game, every away game. He'd even come to practices. And I remember thinking, don't come to practice, because at the end of practice, you had to run wind sprints and stuff. And most of us at wind sprint time cheated a little bit. We kind of kept an eye on the coach. And when he was looking, we were sprinting hard. When he wasn't looking, we sort of loafed a little. But I had a dad on one side, a coach on the other, man. I couldn't loaf, man. But anyway, okay, back to my dad. He came and he says, I know I missed a lot of your stuff. He says, I want you to know there is not a meeting I do, there is not an event I do, that passenger seat on my car isn't open for you. You can come anytime, all the time. And it was his way of kind of apologizing that he was always teaching night classes, so he missed my ball games. But it also was him inviting me. Well, so I took him up on it because I loved my dad. I just wanted to be like my dad. I wanted to grow up and be like my dad. And so there I was, and I started riding with him. And one day early on, I mean, he was winning, and we were going to do a meeting, and I was just me and him in the car, nobody else. And I forgot to say this part of the story too. Growing up, my dad, and just a few months ago, we had him on a Zoom call with everybody, and I said, validate this story that I tell 100 times. And I said, validate. He says, it's true, it's true. And he went and told the story. I said, I'm not even going to tell you how I tell it. You tell it. And it was about his wife, Milky Stuff. Every month, he had to buy these prescription grades, because nothing in the pharmacy would be strong enough for his stomach. He always had an upset stomach. He wouldn't even measure it. He'd get prescription grade medicine for your stomach upset. And it was in the glove box of the car. It was in the bathroom. It was in the kitchen. It was in his office at work. He just drank out of the bottle multiple times a day. And he did that my whole life. And I never remember him not guzzling the white Milky Stuff. Well, so that's why now this is the story. We're driving, and I'm fidgeting because I always had a lot of energy, and I opened the glove box, and there was no white Milky Stuff. I remember this all happened pretty quick. And I said, oh, my gosh, Dad, there's no white Milky Stuff. I said, I know that the Walgreens stuff doesn't work as well, but if you want, pull in, I'll get you some because you have to have it for your meeting tonight. He looked at me and he said, oh, I don't drink that anymore. I said, what? He says, yeah, since I joined this business, I've never took it again, ever. And I go, what? I says, what is it, like a miracle from God? Did you get a blessing at church or what? I mean, like, how come for years you drank it? Now you've never drunk it again? He says, not once. He says, I haven't needed it. And I said, why, Dad? And he turned to me and it changed my life forever. And it's changed thousands of lives around the world. This one moment in time, he looked at me and he said, hope, hope. He said, before this business, I had no hope of ever providing for my family. I wanted your mother home with you, but no, she had to teach second grade. We needed the money. I was gone from every child's event, not just yours, every child. I didn't go to your brother's games. And he goes, I was gone because I was working with no hope of ever getting out of the rut I was in. I had no hope of getting out of the rut I was in. You understand? You might relate with this. Do you have hope to get out of the rut you're in? Because he said, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. But why don't people say the converse of that? If you change what you're doing, you can expect different results. If you change who you're associated with, you can expect different results. But anyway, hope. And he went on to say, once I joined a team and I saw the possibility, I had hope. And he says, once I had hope, I've never needed it. I've never had an upset stomach another day in my life. And I go, I remember looking at him and said, Dad, this is what I want to do for my life too. This is what I want to do with my life too. I want to go around the world giving people hope. I want to go around the world. I said, Dad, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to giving people hope, giving them hope, giving them hope. And that's still why I do it, because there's nothing like when you're
talking. Yeah, and you've done that. You've done that. That's right. And you continue to do it. Do you have, just off the top of my head, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but your networks of people that you have helped, this is not just a USA thing. You have networks around the world. You have a global impact with people that you've helped. Do you want to just, off the top of your head, just name a couple of countries that you're doing some work in right now, or that people on your teams are doing some work in right now that you're most excited about?
Well, of course, we're always succeeding in the United States is just the home of the brave, the land of the free, it's like we're free and right. Home of the brave, because somebody else died on a battlefield. We live by gift in the land of the free, but only we decide if we're brave. But we do live in the home of the brave, and you have a chance to be brave if you choose. So I love the United States, of course, that's my homeland, but right now, gosh, Japan is going crazy. Mexico is going crazy. South Africa, I built big teams in Europe and Germany and Poland. And yeah, I just love it. But right now, yeah, maybe me personally, United States, big time, Japan, big time, Mexico, Colombia, Peru, places like that have me super jazzed, super
That's awesome.
Jazzed.
That's awesome. Now, I'm going to tell them a couple things about you that I know of. I did a radio show on CBS a few years back, and I had a guy on there as a guest who was involved as a network marketing guy with one of the new energy drinks that had come out at the time. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but he knew you, and this was about the time that you bought a home in Alpine that, if I remember right, may have been the most expensive home in Utah at the time. And we didn't really talk about you per se on the show, but I remember seeing photos of this home that you bought and how gorgeous it is and how wonderful it is. And I've heard you tell me in phone conversations over the years the different cars that you've had or that you have now, and you have some very nice, wonderful cars. Just for fun, just pick one of the cars you have that you enjoy the most and just tell people what the make and model of the car is.
Oh, you knucklehead. It's not what I have. It's what they can have. And different people have different dreams. But I do love cars. When I was a little bitty kid, how you'd put these little matchbox cars. And I wish I had more of them, but I had a couple of them and I'd put them on my headboard of my bed. And I was a car guy. So yeah, it's been fun to, I like Rolls Royces, I like Ferraris, I like, so over the years, of course, there's many, many, many of them. And right now, maybe I like my Maserati everyday car. That's what I drive now. I got this, I'm just driving this Maserati every day, but I like it because it's kind of like comfortable for every day, but yet still has a sound. It still moves quick. Yeah. So I don't know if that humbly kind of
that's a good answer. No, that's a good answer. See, that's one of the differences between us. I get, they call us to go haul away, clean out a house, for example. And we would go clean out a house, and sitting in the driveway is a 1976, which is the year I graduated from high school. You were in 75. I was in 76. Sitting in the driveway is a faded yellow 1976 Chevy Nova. And the first car that I ever bought, I think I bought it for $700, and it was a Chevy Nova hatchback, and I was in college. And one day at the apartments there in Provo, the vinyl roof started coming off. It was a white car with a green vinyl roof, and my buddy and I just kind of took our hands and pulled the rest of the vinyl roof off and then spray painted the top of the car green to try to cover it up. Now, I get cars in any, I've had half a dozen of them come my way, but mostly the cars that I get are people tossing them away at a hauling job. And when we cleaned out this house that had the Nova in it, the lady just kind of turned to me and she said, by the way, can you do something with the car? I went, well, yeah, we can, I mean, it'll be an extra couple hundred bucks, but we can haul that off for you too if you want. She said, okay. And I refinished that car and still have it, right? It's on the website, 1-800-JunkRefund.com if you want to see the car. But I guess we both owned multiple cars at the same time, but yours are a little nicer than mine, my friend, and that's okay. That's pretty cool, you know. So I'll tell you one other quick story just to give people an idea about what we do in our business. We had a guy in Virginia work for the government who's going to move back to Oklahoma. His kids came up from Fort Lauderdale to help clean out his place. He had a, I can't remember the model of it right now off the top of my head. I'm just going to say like a Grand Torino, and it wasn't that. It was something else, a convertible, just this car, and he was trying to sell it. And he put an ad in the Washington Post to sell it for $10,500. And I said, well, how's your ad work? He said, I haven't had any calls. And he said, can you do something with the car? I said, yeah, we sell that stuff too. And he said, well, do you take, you know, half of it or what? I go, no, because that wouldn't be a good deal for you. And so I said, what we'll do is I said, what's the bottom line of how much money you want to get out of this car? And he said, $9,900. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll take responsibility for selling it. Anything above $9,900, we'll keep. We'll try to get you $9,900. How does that sound? He said, fine. It was the first time I met the guy. He sent me home with his signed title. He sent me home with the car, gave me the keys to the car. We listed it for sale. We sold it to an attorney from Michigan for $10,800 who flew out to Maryland, picked up the keys, took the car home, and everybody wins. That's an example of what we've done with 1-800-JUNK-REFUND with cars. We're going to take one more commercial break right now. We're going to come back with Lennon Ledbetter, one of the gurus in the United States with network marketing, and give you some specific ideas about what he's been doing lately, what I've been doing lately to get on one of his teams, and ways that he can help you get the financial junk out of your life. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm talking with my high school buddy, Lennon Ledbetter, who has a wonderful, long track record of being very successful in the network marketing industry, helping people achieve their dreams and giving them hope. One of the things that I did recently, and the concept is really pretty simple, Lennon's whole thing, and you correct me, Lennon, if I'm wrong, but Lennon's whole thing is, how can I help somebody else be successful by getting them on a team, motivating them, giving them a product or a service to sell that can make them money, can make Lennon some money, and everybody wins. One of those products, and I signed up for this morning, as a matter of fact, it cost me $495, right? And what I got as a result of signing up for this is basically my own little banking business, I'm going to call it, that allows me and gives me a certain Visa debit card that I can use myself. And I can also help other people get that card. And we all know that everybody uses a credit card or a debit card, and we're swiping cards right and left all the time. And a lot of these card companies give you cash back, right? Or various, you know, prizes or points or whatever it might be. As I understand it, for $500, I have created a separate little business that I have that can now grow and provide residual income as other people get involved in it. And And I can make money myself, and other people can make money simply by swiping a Visa debit card. Have I got it right so far, Lennon?
Yeah, let me say what excites me, giving just a little foundation to the people that might be listening, is every once in a while, something that I hear over and over, so when I say every once in a while, it's almost every day, but somebody might say, well, I don't know that many people. And I go, come on. Have you ever been to church? Have you ever had school? Did you ever go to school? Do you have any neighbors? It's like, you go to the grocery store. Do you get your hair cut? Do you go to the dentist? I just made you a list of 100. But the whole game really is not just who you know, but who they know and who they know and who they know and who they know. And so it's just like, you know people, Alan, that I don't know. They'll know people you don't know. But everybody knows somebody. And the thing I've always wanted. So it seemed like everything in networking was, well, we have these products and you're using them anyway, so use these. Or it's, we got this new first to the market product and the only place you can get it. Either way, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I always had the dream because everything is duplication, because it costs us nothing to open our mouth, nothing to open our mouth. But I want to have something that a new person would feel like sharing with their friend because it was a benefit to their friend. I didn't want them to feel like they were trying to get their friend into their deal. I wanted it to be, well, why wouldn't they talk if all they're doing is giving somebody else money? Like, I am going to give you money versus I'm going to show you an idea and then you can pay money. So here's what got me excited. I said, everybody's swiping a card. See, I also didn't want to have to always spend time trying to tell them why our product was better. I know you can get laundry soap in the store. You can get it at the store. You can also get it from Alan's mom and dad years ago. You could also get it from my mom and dad years ago. Well, why is their soap better than this soap or that soap or that? I just said, you know what? Doesn't matter what they charge. Do you know anybody that swipes a card? Do you know anybody that ever uses a Visa card? Where is Visa card accepted? They have to put a card to get their Netflix. They have to put a card to get their gym membership. They go to the grocery store. They go to the gas station. They go to Costco. In Costco, and you see everybody just put in the card one after another, put in the card, lined up just as fast as they can accept cards. They're accepting cards. Imagine if you were getting a piece of every swipe. The banks are gazillionaires over it. Well, we said, let's put it to the people. So I like having our own Visa card. That's what I mostly do right now. That's going crazy because it's the easiest thing to share, because what we do is we double their buying power. So even though someplace gives air miles or somebody else gives points or somebody else gives a 2% cash back or something, we said, let's match it dollar for dollar. So it's 1-to-1. So I go and I swipe my Visa card for $70 at the gas station. Then we give you $70. Now, that you can spend. So everybody today is trying to stretch their dollar, especially since COVID. Things are tight. Interest rates are high. So guess what? We're trying to double your buying power just immediately. So the newest end user, that's $25. If somebody just wants to get an account, get a card, and then they start doubling their buying power if they use it. So why wouldn't my grandmother use it? You see, they do. They are. And why wouldn't our kids? You see, everybody we know is using a card. I talk to people every day. When's the last time you used a card? When's the last time you swiped a card? They always say today. And then I say,
I'm about to walk into Wendy's in 10 minutes and swipe another one.
Exactly.
I'm with you. I understand.
And so I said, let's make the product be whatever they're doing. Doesn't matter. I don't have to convert them and say, if you use my health products, you won't need the diabetes medicine. You won't need the gout pills. You won't need the high blood pressure medicine. No. Now I just say, swipe your card for high blood pressure medicine. Swipe your card for your diabetes. I'm joking a little bit, but I'm saying whatever they use their card for. So So the end user, all they do is double their buying power, double their buying power. In fact, now, just like you, because you did the $4.95, we're doubling it. So I swipe my card for $70 at Costco for gas and get $140. Then I go in Costco, swipe my card for $150. Boom, I get $300. So it's just, I'm making money like crazy.
Well, what they're doing, because some people might get the wrong idea. I want to get the wrong idea. Sometimes there's like, I mean, if I go into Wendy's right now, I don't even have the card yet, et cetera, because it was too new. If I go into Wendy's right now and, you know, pay $20 for some food, I don't suddenly get, you know, a check for $20 by using my debit card. But I think what I get is I get like some kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong, some kind of a credit or a buying power to go back in and get more products, more services as a result of using that card. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah. So in other words, a lot of it will be cash and a lot of it will be, because I'm interested in cash too. You're interested in cash. So yes, right. You get 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 buying power. Now, what do I do with that? It's like, okay, have you ever gone to Amazon and you order whatever you want and you put a card down? You can go to Walmart.com, order what you want. We don't care what you want. You know what you want. So you use your card. All we're interested in is making the card value so much that you go, whoa, why would I use any other card? Because I get so much more for this card. And then
right,
we have what
right.
we call our Z store. Yes, so our store. And there's only about 20 million SKUs now. But it's just like going to Walmart. Walmart, I could say. Going to Amazon, I meant to say, but Walmart works too.
And so basically you use the card and you get some credit that you can use to go to other places to buy more stuff,
yeah.
right? And that's the
uh-huh.
concept of
yes.
kind of doubling your buying power, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's
okay.
to double your buying power. But the part is too, is so if I don't want to ever talk to a friend, I don't know any friends that use a Visa card. I don't know any friends that have a desire to make a little extra income. I have no friends that have a second job they'd like to get rid of. I know no friend that swipes a card. I know no friend that's ever heard the word Visa. Okay? Then just pay $25. Get your card and double your buying power. $25.
So here's
your card.
The thing I
but
to
I'm
know.
Saying yeah. if somebody says, I do know somebody, well, that's the big money. That's when we start making money a piece of every swipe. See, everywhere a person uses a card, that merchant pays a percentage. That's how the banks are billionaires. Billions, billions, billions. Because it doesn't matter if we're using that card at a gas station. Doesn't even matter which gas station. That gas
right,
station
correct.
Sends a piece. So we're trying to make it beneficial to the new guy. We want you to get free, not just the banks get financially free. We want you to get
right.
financially free. So
here's what I want people to know. Okay. No, I don't mean to interrupt you, but here's what I want them to know.
I love it.
Is that there's a lot more to the story, and I'm not an expert on it because I just got involved just recently I love the idea of having a simple little business on the side that I don't have to go spend thousands of dollars to start. I don't need a storefront. I don't need a license. I don't need, you know, whatever, all the stuff that you normally do to start a business, like when I started a junk removal business years ago. And for $500, I've got my own business that I have had Lennon in the last 3 weeks. I think I've had 7 or 8 people come to me and say, you know, do you know a way I can make some extra money? And now I've got, yeah, I do. Here's something you can do. And I've got a buddy that's teaching me how to get involved in it and do some stuff on it. And you can be on my team and et cetera. So here's the bottom line. And we'll send out some more information on this later, but if there's somebody listening that's interested and wants to just get more information, send an email to junkrefund@gmail.com. Just shoot an email off to junkrefund@gmail.com and we'll shoot you some information and show you what's going on and go from there. I do want to close with one quick story that kind of brings us back to Orem. When we were about junior high school or high school, when I was 14. Okay, thank you. When I was 14, I thought I was going to be a pro golfer, and I turned my backyard into a par 3 golf course and just hit plastic golf balls around my backyard. Also, I guess I did that maybe when I was 12. When I was 14, I won the Orem Youth Amateur Golf Tournament, played at the Cascade Golf Course by 21 shots. Okay? And I have the fee. I've won a couple of golf tournaments since then, but that was the first one that I've won. And I watch these guys in their 20s and 30s go out today and play on the PGA Tour and win a golf tournament. And they get out and they walk off with a check that's at least $1 million or more, right? And I've always kind of thought, man, I wonder what that feels like to be that successful. And I know it takes years to get to that point, but in a 4-day period, what would it be like to be that successful and receive that kind of a paycheck? Now, folks, I'm here to tell you, I don't know what that's like, but my buddy Lennon Ledbetter knows what that feels like. And that's a true statement. And he hasn't won just one tournament. He's won a bunch of them. Okay. So that's why, that's one of the main reasons I brought him on this show, is because this guy is one of the very best in the industry, in the world, frankly, at building networks and helping other people be successful to get the financial junk out of their lives. He is terrific at it. There are two things after, and I've been in sales for 40 years. There are two things that set him apart as a very, very good salesman. Number one, he's patient. He doesn't push people. He's patient. The very best salespeople help other people get what they want or what they need. They don't push you. The public is very aware of when they're being pushed, which is why so many people don't stay on the phone when they get a telemarketer calling them at home. The other thing that makes Lennon outstanding is his persistence. He is patiently persistent. He sticks with you. He's there for the long haul. He's not a, you know, what can I get here? I'm moving on to the next deal. That's not what he's all about. He doesn't need the money. I think he gets the joy from watching other people be successful, and he's done it for decades, and I just think it's a fabulous thing. That's a little tribute to you, Lennon. I think that's the way I view you, and I've known you for 50 years, and I just think it's a great thing that you're doing, and I'm thrilled to be on a team with having you as a coach, and I'm thrilled to have other people get involved that I can help as I learn more about it and just help people, as you said, get more hope. I'm going to give you, like, Lennon, the last, like, 30 seconds. Is there anything else you want to say in just wrapping up the show today?
I'm just excited about where we're going, man. You know, all of you, think about where you've been. Don't focus on where you've been. Focus on where you're going. And I'm just grateful that we had this opportunity today. Thank you, Alan, for inviting me on, and Don for putting it together. And I just want you guys to know that we've got great times ahead. You know, your past does not determine your future. Who you associate with determines your future. In other words, let's increase by association. Increase by association. And I can't wait to get to know all of you. And thank you, Alan, for letting me share.
Hey, you're the best. It's great. I've known you for 50 years. It's great to have you on the show. My plan is to have you back as kind of a regular guest on the show, probably even each month, just to talk more about what we're doing and how it's working and stuff like that, in the spirit of trying to help people get the financial junk out of their lives. Nobody can do it any better than Lennon Ledbetter. I just think he's that good at it, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show. Thanks for being with us. We're here every Thursday at 3:00. Thanks to Don Newsom, the producer, and give us a shout. If you're interested and want to learn more right away, send an email to junkrefund@gmail.com. We'll see you next Thursday at 3:00 Eastern, where we're going to interview one of the hardest working guys you've ever seen and that I've ever seen. And you will be dumbfounded at what this guy does in a day that makes him one of the hardest working guys I've ever seen. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks again, Lennon. Have a great night. Thanks to Don, and thanks for joining us on the Junk Refund Show on dbsradio.com. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show. the longest running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.